But I'm going to get into the presentation here, into the message here tonight. That's about it for that. And we have some resources back there. And you can sign up. There's a sign-up paper back there that you can get in there and get on the newsletter if you want to get on the newsletter. It would just be awesome if you could get to other people and other preachers, if they would be interested in allowing me to come and present the ministry. It would be an honor for me to do that. I'm trying really hard to get close to churches around the area here because of sicknesses in our family and the children getting sick so quick. We're kind of limited on our long-distance traveling. And so I like to try to be family first as much as possible. But, you know, talking about the Amish and how my heart's desire is for them to be saved and how my heart's desire is for them to see the truth. I was the oldest of 13 children, and my dad is actually a bishop in the Amish church. And so you can only imagine how he felt by me leaving as the oldest child and doing everything that he expects me to do and what he has taught me. And what he thought, I was going to be married in the Amish church, and I'm going to be married and stay Amish and raise a family and all that stuff. So you can imagine what kind of pressure it puts on him by me leaving and then making him look like that. And it's hard. It's very hard. And I love my dad more now than I ever did. But the reason I say it's my heart's desire, I always can go back to what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They have their own righteousness that they depend on. That's all they want to do is depend on their own righteousness. They think that if you do this and do that, and you follow what our traditions has been taught since 1500, since Jacob Amon broke off from the Mennonite church, they believe that if we follow all those rules and regulations, what our parents taught us, that we have to, that we can maybe get to heaven. It's not, that's the way salvation is. They believe and they teach and preach that you can't know that you're saved. You can't. They believe and preach that you cannot know, absolutely not know that you're saved. That on judgment day, that when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, that's when God is going to judge us at that time. Okay, you're going to go on the left and you're going to go on the right. That's when God judges by us by our works. They believe that we're going to be judged by our works that we do down here on earth. And that's what I grew up listening and knowing to do. And 2 weeks ago, my brother came over to our house on a windy day. He was 17 years old. He rode 11 miles horseback over to my place. And he had several questions and he wanted to see where I lived. And I got to witness to him. I simply got to witness to him, and it was just, I don't know, it was a divine guidance. I don't know what happened or what brought him over there, but it was definitely divine guidance. I got to witness to him, and he never got mad, never got upset. I just did it as God laid it on my heart, and I know this kid is searching. I know he's searching. I know he's wondering what can and how can Brother Samuel with his family be so happy out there and have the life that he lives, knowing what he did was wrong. So he's wondering. It's all going through his mind like that. So pray for him. But we're going to get into the message here, and I'm going to try to get through it here fairly quick if I can. And the message is, the text is out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And I named the message, "Lord, Lord, we've done all these things in your name." That's what I named the message, because one time I was talking to someone here, and I was just saying, you know, it just dawned on me. There's so many people, I believe, I know, in churches, in God's churches today, that are just as lost as can be. They come because exactly what I've done for 30 years. I went to the Amish church believing and thinking and knowing that I can probably get to heaven, but I'm a good Christian. I know that I can stand before God and I can be all right before God based upon what I have done, because I went to church and I tithed and I got baptized and all these things. There's so many things like that. And as I grow into my knowledge of the Word of God and being around godly people, and being around brethren of Christ and talking to them and learning, I realize there's more and more people that are as lost as can be in these churches. As lost. And that's why God called us, called the people that are saved to go to church, because the church is for the lost people. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Father, as I preach this message tonight, Lord, I just pray that you would anoint it. And Lord, I just pray, God, that if there's anyone here
that is here based upon what their parents taught them, that they're here just because they're in church, or that they're here just because they're not out doing bad things and they're here on good things, doing good things, Lord. I want them to realize, Lord, that it's just simply you, believing in you and trusting in your work, Lord, your death and your burial and resurrection, that they can be saved. God, would just lift them up to you, and would just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So who will enter the kingdom of heaven is your question. Is the question here, will everyone who professes Christ enter? The Lord says no. There are some who profess my name only, Jesus says. The false professor is a person who uses Christian vocabulary. False professor uses Christian vocabulary all the time when he thinks he's doing everything right. And he recites his creeds and prayers and attends services and participates in his functions, yet he does not know nor accept the Lord's word. I was just talking to a gentleman here tonight that his brother is not saved. And he's, I don't know how old he is, up under an age, not good in health. And some of his family is saved and some of his brother's children are saved. But he has no interest in the Lord. He turns from the Lord's word. Can you imagine going through life and being unhappy all your life? But they do not accept the Lord's word. He does not even obey the Lord's word. In Matthew 7:18, it says, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And in Luke 6:46, it says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Does that person, does he not really know Christ? Not personally. A person that comes in here and does not know Christ. So Christ says he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. It says he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In another place it says, a couple of verses later, it says, shall not see the kingdom of heaven. You shall not see the kingdom of heaven. That's in John chapter 3. A person cannot get into heaven by professing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He can get into heaven only by doing the will of God. And what is the will of God? What is the will of God? This is the law that governs the gate and the entrance into heaven. There's 2 points here that I have here. A person must do more than profess to enter heaven. There are two kinds of people who say, Lord, Lord, making a false profession. First, there are those who profess and do very little. There's those who profess and do very little. They do not hesitate to talk about their religion or church or express and to express confidence in it. They feel religion has its place in the lives of men and in the structure of society. And then they also attend church and give and serve others as much as needed in order to make them feel comfortable with themselves and to be acceptable to God. Then some feel comfortable and acceptable attending a few churches here and there every once in a while, giving a little and serving only when they are only approached by it. Then others need more, so they do more. And then the second one here is that there are those who profess and do tremendous work for their religion and society. They are sincere as can be, and they call Christ Lord, Lord, in all the areas of religious and life, such as prayer, witnessing, teaching, conversation, preaching, and writing. Dresses, confessions, and there's a list that goes on and on here, ordinances, activities. Why is this person rejected and shut out from heaven? A person who calls Christ Lord and labors so diligently in his name, there are three primary reasons why. Three primary reasons. Letter A is, it says, because profession only fails to do more than profess. Only fails to do more than profess. And then profession alone is the big I. Notice the words we have not. We have not in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. All these things, many wonderful things. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? They were wonderful works, but when we stand before God, what we have done will count absolutely for nothing. Not a thing. Nothing. In that day, on Judgment Day, when Jesus comes back, a genuine believer is not going to be professing what he has done. I will not be professing what I have done, because that's not going to get me to heaven. And that's not a conversation that I had one time with an Amish man before. He was condemning me and telling me where I'm going and how wrong it is what I'm doing, that I'm just a Bible-carrying hypocrite and all this stuff. I'm just saying Jesus because I'm just saying Jesus because I want to say Jesus. I was trying to witness to him. And he said, so I asked him, what's he going to say then? If I'm the one that's going to be saying, Lord, Lord, I've done these things in your name, what are you going to say? And a lost person can't answer to that. They can't answer to that. Profession only shows how inadequate our understanding of God and ourselves really is. It shows how centered we are upon our abilities and goodness. And I want you to think and be honest for a little bit. How can anyone ever stand before a supreme being and intelligence of the universe, before an almighty God, and claim anything? There's nothing that we can claim. Nothing. If such a person as God is going to let any man enter into heaven, is it going to be because he wills to accept the man? It's not because man has done anything. Profession alone does not understand or else reject the true nature of God and man. The true nature of God and man as revealed by the Bible and witnessed by history. History exposes the selfishness, greed, and evil of every nation and person of the world day by day. Every nation. And then profession alone does not do God's will. Profession alone does not do God's will. Profession alone is a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 5, it says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive carefully, lawfully. I mean, this simply means that a person goes through all the forms of religious life, all forms of religious life, yet he denies the power of godliness. And so what is godliness? What is godliness? In 2 Corinthians 5, 19, 21 to 21, it says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, for he, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. In 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, great is the ministry of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, received up into glory. So this is the crux of the matter. The only Lord that God knows is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he sent from heaven in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God sent Jesus to die for our sins, to die so that through belief we might be counted free of sin's penalty, simply by belief, by sin's penalty. And we might be counted free of sin's penalty, and we might be justified, that is, counted perfectly righteous and acceptable to God. Because of who? Because of him. God sent the Lord Jesus to arise from the dead, to arise so that through belief we might be counted as a new man in his resurrected life. And we might be counted acceptable in him to live eternally with God. God counts that unto us just through belief. Anyone who denies the power of godliness, the power of Christ's death and resurrection to impart forgiveness and life to him, shall not enter heaven. Will not enter heaven. All his works and religion, any person's works or religion, no matter how good, are only a form of godliness. It is simply belief. Profession alone also acknowledges and honors self, and it does not Christ. It honors self, profession alone. Just do notice something of the critical importance here. When Christ died for us, he was the one who had done all the good, all the work of salvation. We have nothing. He was the one who died. Christ died for us. So he is the one who is to be honored and lifted up and praised all the time. All the time. So we know that he is the subject, the only subject of redemption. Jesus is the only subject of redemption. So this is the very thing that God is after. God is after the honor of his dear Son. It is the man who trusts Christ's death and resurrection who honors Christ. And it is the man who shall be allowed to enter heaven, and that man alone, because of that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And in Titus 1:16, it says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate." And then in 1 John 3:18, it says, "My little children, let us not love in the word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So the point number two here is that a person must do God's will in order to enter heaven. We have to do God's will in order to get to heaven. Christ is talking about people who are interested in heaven. He's not talking about those who are not interested in heaven. Heaven should be the final, ultimate goal of every man. And it should be the place every man seeks to enter. So not everyone is interested in heaven. Not everyone is interested in heaven. Even in entering into heaven. Not everyone is interested in that. There are some who will call him Lord who will not be allowed to enter. The people who wish to enter heaven must do the will of him who is in heaven. Today I saw a message. Watch the message of a guy preaching. It was some, I don't know, some big mega church preaching, a young black man preaching. He was saying how he was before standing before God, how he left his body. He was, I guess, unconscious or whatever. He was leaving the body. He was standing before God, how he was seeking God and how he was doing this. And he was just about ready to enter in, and he felt God's presence. And he saw God, and he just, like with Jesus, he saw Jesus. He was just getting ready to walk in, and he said, "Jesus." And Jesus looked at him and says, "Do I know you?" So this man hasn't been born again. This is him sharing how so many people are going to go before God. They're going to have a religious walk. They're going to have a religious act. They're going to have everything religious about them. But God is not even going to know them. Jesus is not going to know them. The people who wish to enter heaven must do the will of God who is in heaven. So who is in heaven? Who is in control? In that, who is it that controls the entrance into heaven? It's the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. If a person wishes to enter heaven, he must do the will of Christ's Father. Not the will of some other God or prophet. It's simply the will of God. So what is primary? What is the primary will of God? In 1 John 3:23 it says, "This is His commandment, that we should believe on His name, His Son Jesus Christ, love one another as He gave us commandment." The person who does God's will is the person who truly believes and obeys and loves God's Son. In John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, "He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." John 15:10-14 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Christ is claiming that he himself is to be the future judge of the world. That's what he's claiming here. In John chapter 5, verse 22 and 27. So if you notice, the professing person calls upon him, but is rejected by him. So what do we do? What do we mean when we call Jesus Lord? Do we mean that we were a great teacher? Or that he was a great teacher, let's say? Do we mean that he was a living example of what a good man should be when we call Jesus Lord? What do we mean by that? And that he was a great martyr who shows all men how they should embrace a purpose? And what do we mean that he was a great man upon whom the Spirit of God rested in a special way? What do we mean by that? So in our deepest moments of our thoughts, when we think on these things, we know that we need help in living. We need help. In particular, if we are to escape death and live forever, help from someone above and beyond ourselves, why then do we have so much difficulty in confessing our need? Why do we struggle with the difficulty of confessing our needs? Confession and obedience and honor are due God, simply due God. It is not due man. It is not due me. It's not due you. We are the ones who have a desperate need for life as a human being. And that person who confesses and obeys and honors God shall enter into heaven. Confesses and obeys and honors God by being born again. You must be born again, period. You must be born again. So there is hope, but it's only through Christ. Simply through Christ. God, love. There is the proof of God's love, the incarnation. The incarnation. God actually sent His Son into the world as a little baby. John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth." And 5:8, Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners, yet Christ died for us." Christ was not sent to condemn or judge the world. We, the world, deserve to be judged and condemned. We know that. As believers, knowing the truth and the gospel, we deserve to be condemned. We are guilty both of breaking God's law and coming short of God's glory. We're all guilty of that. It is simply the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned, come short the glory of God." So the question is, what are you going to say on Judgment Day when Jesus comes back? When you stand before God, are you going to say, "Lord, Lord," or are you going to be going to point towards Jesus? Why you're here before God. You must be born again. In order to enter the kingdom of God or even see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come to short of the glory of God." You can come up and do an invitation if you want, Pastor, I'm done. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." There's so many scriptures here that we can go and read in the Word of God, the only book, Word of God, how we can know that we can be saved and get born again, so that we don't stand before God and say, "Lord, Lord, we've done these things in Your name." That is not going to mean anything until you're born again.